Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to SBPRA Radio. I'm your host, Charles Green. Today we'll be hearing the second installment of our interview with author Ruth Finnegan. Last episode, we heard from Ms. Finnegan discussing her novel, Black Inked Pearl. Here is the second part.
I'm Ruth Finnegan, and I've written a novel called Black Inked, A Girl's Quest, that I'm going to be answering questions about today. Also a bit about my life and my career, so on. Well, the story and character of Black Inked Pearl. Well, it starts in Ireland on a Donegal Shore. I know exactly where it is, a long strand by the sea. And this girl, Kate, who'd grown up with her dear love, but she thought he was just a friend that she trusted. They walked along the shore together, good friends, and she picked up a feather. He thought, why not put it in her hair? So he did, and that brought his face so close to her, the natural thing was to kiss her. He longed to kiss her. He knew that was right. First, she seemed to sink into his arms in joy, but suddenly she froze and she understood. And she fled across the strand in an absolute panic, an emotional gust, a whirl, and fell on the sand hills beyond. I know exactly where they are, too. Then she thought, maybe it wouldn't be so bad, this sex thing, even though I'm only 15 and too young. She thought she'd go back. But do you know, Ireland? The rain had come down and the mist couldn't see him. So she thought, my footsteps. But no, the rain and seawater had filled them. So that's the story, really, because she then spent all her life searching for him. But she doesn't know yet she has to do that. She goes off to Oxford, does very well. He follows her, but she's already got engaged to somebody else, which is the end of the world, shattering for him. Then she becomes a highly professional, very cold, unemotional, successful businesswoman in London. But then she decides she's going to go off to Africa, the coming continent, to get contacts, so she tells her staff. And there beside the great Congo River, she suddenly realizes that she's not cool and emotional. She's passionate and she compulsively loves this man, whose name we never know. And until the very end, she never really sees his face. So then the rest of the story is all about how she tries to find him through heaven and hell, earth and sea. But in the end, he, who is so horrible in a way, and she gets so when she's waiting for him at the gate to heaven, marches past, finally seeks for her and makes the ultimate sacrifice to save her. And you think that's the end, but no, the Black Ink story hasn't finished yet. It was all right to seek for her love, but really what she had to first take responsibility for, a lesson for us all, was to find herself. That she wasn't just a giver. She was someone who had to accept as well, accept sacrifice much harder. And at the end, she finds herself the pearl. What inspired me? Well, it was dreams. But as one reviewer said, it's only someone with my background and interests that would have had dreams like that. I never thought of that, but I think it's true. All my love of literature and my knowledge, especially in Homer, my first degree was in classics, and of oral poetry and of oral unwritten storytelling in Africa. All that influenced me, and it comes through in the book. If you're interested in literature, you will see all these allusions not direct quotes, but allusions you pick up. If you're not, you'll still enjoy the story, I'm sure. I put a few notes in the back just to help. But also I was very influenced by this. I was at a Quaker school. I was born in Northern Ireland. My parents wanted me to get away from this awful divide between Catholic and Protestant. And the Quaker kind of rose above that. And what we had to do every morning was to learn a text, usually from the Bible, but also from literature like Wordsworth and so on, and say it aloud to the headmistress before we were allowed our breakfast. And that deeply influenced me. And also reading aloud from all my chapter texts, which I was told I had to do at university in Oxford, and I did, and I actually did well. But the real impetus was from dreams. All through the summer of 2014, beginning when I was in New Zealand, and then continuing when I came home after visiting my daughter and granddaughter in Auckland, I dreamed. It wasn't so much a vision, though, it was like a vision, but an intense note of feeling, and not a feeling. And then the words somehow came around in my head, and the next day I wrote it down, a chapter a night, and in 7 weeks it was finished. The 50th chapter came a little later, but actually I think it was always there, I just hadn't seen it. So amazing. I'd always written academic books about language and literature. To have written a novel, and one that's getting scintillating reviews, I still don't believe it. As for advice, well, really, I would just say, follow your dreams. I think that really is the most important thing of all. And think outside the box. After all, I began as an academic, and I've written some quite influential academic books about music and about oral poetry, oral storytelling. And the one that has just become my favorite, one about why do we quote? This novel of mine is actually doing the quoting. The other book was about reflecting on quoting. So it was change, but it wasn't a change I made deliberately. It just somehow happened. Well, I think that just about winds it up. Oh, well, perhaps I should say about what I'm going to do next. Do you want to know about that? Well, I have a lot of academic books that I know I must do. And I'm halfway through most of them. One is just waiting for me to finish the conclusion before it goes off to the wonderful University of Wales publisher press. It's called Entrancement. It's actually an edited book about a kind of heightened place. Some people call it the noosphere. Some people call it the unconscious or eternity, which we get to through dreams, like in my novel Dreams, through music very much, through what some people would call telepathy or altered consciousness. None of the words are quite right, but I must finish it. And then I'm going to write a book all of my own. That other one is edited with wonderful chapters by various people. Myself, called The Shared Mind, which is using some of that same material, but also connecting it on with the amazing work that's been done by the innovative, the new scientists about new ways of looking at consciousness, about whether, well, one very good physicist called it 6 billion minds or one. I think your answer was both. Then I want to write a book about the contribution Africa has made to the world, books about the other way around, and a book about taxi drivers, Would you believe that there is no serious book about taxi drivers? But I won't go on about that. That should be finished maybe end of the year. But all the time, the next novel keeps intruding. I keep trying to bat it away, but can't help scribbling down a few little bits and pieces. But I'm not going to tell you what it's about yet, except that it does, it's not a sequel, but it does relate to the present novel, The Black Inked Pearl. Well, okay, guys. Bye for now. This is Ruth Finnegan on SBPRA Radio talking about my novel and lots of other things too, of course. Keep a good storyteller down. My novel, The Black Inked Pearl. Thank you very much for listening and see you again.
That was author Ruth Finnegan discussing her novel, Black Inked Pearl. Thanks for tuning in to SBPRA Radio, and remember to read on.